Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message that Tom Joe pre-recorded for our online service, which premiered on Sunday morning, November 29th, 2020, and it's from Philippians chapter 3.
Hey everyone, here we are again on TV. So, hey, one thing that I have been hearing about is that a lot of people around the world, really, during the time of the coronavirus, have been having vivid dreams. Have you been having vivid dreams? Like, for example, a lot of people dream about bugs for some reason. But I was reading an article, and it was talking about if you're having vivid dreams and you don't want to during the coronavirus, what can you do to, you know, kind of not do that? And so they said there's three things. This one article said three things. 90 minutes before you go to bed, don't watch the news. 90 minutes before you go to bed, don't doom scroll. You know, on your phone, like all the news feeds, you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, don't do that. And also, this was an experiment that they did somewhere where they, where you could actually tell yourself what you want to dream about and you just think about it and set yourself mind up to dream this particular thing. And then, like 60% of the people in this experiment were able to like decide what they want to dream and they would dream that. So I was trying to think of like some dreams that I would like to have like during the time of the coronavirus. Here's one. Let's see. Okay, in my dream, the coronavirus is over. I'm in a restaurant at a table and there is Batman, Robin, Captain America, Spider-Man, the Lone Ranger. None of them are wearing their mask. That would be great. Here's another one. The Tokyo Olympics. They're going to have it because when the coronavirus is over, they're going to have it. It's the high dive, but it's the double one where two people are side by side and they're going to do the same dive. So they're going to do like a 3.5 inward somersault in the pike position. And they're not 6 feet apart. They're 1 foot apart. I think that would be great. Here's another dream that I'm going to have. Like, so in my dream, the coronavirus is over. We're in Neyland Stadium. It is jammed, 104,000 fans, everybody all crunched in there together, and the Balls actually win a game. That would be awesome. You know, I do have a dream. I've had this for years, and I don't dream very much, but it's the only like kind of repeating dream that I have, and I don't really know what it means. But like I'm out on my day, and like, you know, I had a lot of things to think about, and I was kind of distracted, and I'm out, you know, going through my day, and I realized that I forgot to put my pants on. And I'm like, what? Now I'm out in public with no pants on. So in my dream, like I'm in like the Kroger's parking lot and I'm dodging from one car to another, trying to get to my car before anybody realizes that I'm out in public without my pants on. And although I do have last time I had my mask on. So hopefully people couldn't tell who I was, and I was just like, dude, you need to focus. You need to concentrate when you're getting ready and think about one thing when you're getting ready for your day. There was a woman in John chapter 8 who this dream, it was a nightmare, but it actually became her life. It was a woman who, we don't really know how this happened. In my mind, it was like this. It was a woman who probably in some way was lonely in her marriage, and maybe her husband was a jerk or abusive. And there was a guy who, you probably know the story, but she was looking for love and acceptance. He did not care about her. And he was going to actually put a lot of shame on her, use her for his purposes, but he did not love her. And what he was going to try to do was, well, what he did do was probably said words to her that she hadn't heard in a long time. And he talked her into going to bed with him. But the point was, he and his friends were going to trap her and use her to trap Jesus. So in order to, you know, like they were going to bring her, what they did was, so in order to accuse somebody of adultery, you had to catch them like in the middle of it. So somehow when they were like in the middle of it, his friends jumped through the window, jumped through the door, and they took her, like maybe they gave her the opportunity to wrap herself in a sheet. They were so heartless, I don't even know about that. And they took her to Jesus, and they were going to be like, you know, so Moses said you're supposed to stone this person. What do you say there, Mr. Mercy on everyone? And it was trying to trap Jesus in a situation. He wound up trapping them and setting her free. But it says, at the moment that they came in to catch her, John said they grabbed her. So John, like, when you go to theological school and you start to learn Greek, the first Greek, once you get to where you could read the New Testament a little bit, you start to read the things that John wrote, like the first letter that he wrote and the Gospel of John, because the Greek that John used was the simplest of all. But in this story, there's a word, the word to grab, where they grabbed her, is an unusual word in the New Testament, and it isn't used many times. But scholars say it's a word that means to grab someone with decisive initiative. One person said, with eager self-interest, in a forceful manner. So they grabbed her with decisive initiative, with eager self-interest, in a forceful manner, and they got a hold of her. I want to stop the story right here and just kind of freeze frame it and leave it at that point. And I want us to drift over to the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to his friends at Philippi, to the Philippians, which is a letter that he wrote from prison. So you would think, like the great Apostle Paul, the great missionary, scholar, and he's in prison. And you would think, you know, his reputation is, now he's like a felon. You know, and you would think that he would be so frustrated because he couldn't do anything. Like, he couldn't do all the ministries that he was doing. And like this coronavirus time, it's super difficult for people who like serve Jesus full time because, you know, you can't do the things that you were doing. And he couldn't do any of that stuff. And he couldn't go anywhere. And he was like traveling everywhere. And I love to travel everywhere. Like in April, in April after Easter, I had three trips I was going to go on, and I was super excited about all three of them. And I was hoping for a big one in the summer, and wasn't able to do any of them. And you would have think that Paul would have been like so frustrated in prison. And instead, he super wasn't. Like, he was filled with joy and filled with peace. And he basically said in chapter 3, I would not trade this time for anything. I mean, I don't know if you feel that way, like about the last 9 months. Do you feel like I would not have traded them for anything? But Paul is like, no, this has been awesome. He said, because he said, actually, all that stuff that was maybe at a certain point in my life were important to me, like my reputation, my great accomplishments, my great achievements, compared to what I've learned, I consider them garbage. Like, the word garbage is actually the Greek word skibala, which it means poop. But actually, one scholar that I really like, a lot of Greek scholar, he said, actually, it's the other four-letter word for poop. I remember, one time I was with, we had gone to Dollywood, like with our grandkids. And I was on like a ride with my grandson, Henry. I think he was about maybe 10 or 11. But it was this ride where you just go up and up and up, and it was scaring the crud out of me. And when we were done, he said, Pop, you said the S word. And I said, I did. Did I say any other words? But it's basically that word, you know, that he said, all of my reputation, my accomplishment, achievements, I just consider them garbage. That I might have Christ and be found in him, not with a righteousness of my own that comes through accomplishments, through the law, accomplishments and achievements, but the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that is by faith. In other words, and he said, like, compared to reputation, achievements, and accomplishments, I've gained. The Greek word for gain is a word that means to trade. I have traded up because I have found, and maybe more deeply, like in the period that he was passing through, kind of like the period that we're passing through, that I am what I am, not because I achieved stuff or I accomplished stuff, because right now I can't do any of that, but just because I'm loved, because Jesus paid for me and he's accepted me just because he loves me. Henry Nouwen said, all human dignity resides in this, in being a receiver, a recipient, a receptacle of the love of God. And he said, not only is that a trade-up compared to like having a reputation or whatever, great accomplishments and all that stuff, just to be loved. But he said, because I'm loved and because Jesus had made me acceptable because he loves me, now I can know him. I can know Christ. In verses 7 through 11, he's saying all this of chapter 3 of Philippians, that I can know Christ. I can... like he, Jesus, risen from the dead, is with me all the time. He's like my invisible best friend. I can be with him. I can talk to him. I can learn about him. I can learn what he cares about. The other, like a little bit ago, I was reading through the book, Gospel of Luke, and I got to chapter 6. And the second half of chapter 6 is a super boiled down, condensed version of the Sermon on the Mount, which is in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So it's three whole chapters kind of boiled down into half a chapter. And in it, he said, this is what I care about. Jesus like said, this is what I care about from you, that you love your enemies, that you do good to people who hate you, that you bless and talk well, talk good about and talk good to people who mistreat you. He really cares about that. And I'm coming to know him and I want to care like about what he cares about. And he said, I really don't want you to judge anybody. And I really don't want you to condemn anybody. And I want you to forgive everyone. And what he cared about back then is what he cares about now. And I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. In other words, Jesus is risen from the dead. He's with me like right here. And because of his presence with me, and actually because Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you and me when you believe in Jesus, he makes a spiritual energy available that we didn't have before, that not everybody has, to actually do the things that he cares about, to actually love your enemies. I mean, you think, I don't really have any enemies. I mean, well, you have people who don't like you, right? I mean, everybody has people who kind of don't like them. I remember there was a while that I was upset because there was a person I couldn't figure out how to be friends with this person. And then I realized, oh, they don't like me. Well, you can't really be friends with someone who doesn't like you, but you can love them. And he gives you the power to like love people who don't like you and to do good to people who hate you and to bless people who like mistreat you. And he gives you the power to not judge people and the power to not condemn anybody and the power to forgive everybody that you didn't really have before. And he's like, I want to know him. I want to care like him. I want to be full of him. And then he says, and the fellowship of his suffering. The word fellowship is a word that just means sharing. Sharing in his suffering. Well, I can't really share Jesus' suffering. Like, I can't pay for anybody's sins. If I ever try to, like, assume responsibility for other people's sins, it never really works or goes anywhere. But the word suffering is where it's the word passion. It's the Greek word where we get the word passion. And it can also just means like strong emotions and like having a broken heart. And I want that. I want to care like him and I want to feel like him. Like I want my heart to break for the things that break the heart of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 6, he tells, you know, what really breaks his heart is when people are poor And I want to care about that. And I want to care about them. And I want my heart to break for them. And people that are sad and people who weep and people who are excluded and who are alone. And his heart breaks for them. And Paul says, I want my heart to break for them. I want, you know, I want to share in his feelings. I want to care. I want to know him. I want to care like him. I want to feel like him. And then he says, being conformed to his death, which, I mean, I got to think that what that basically means is like where Jesus said, if anybody wants to follow me, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross. Just the way he took up his cross and like say no to myself to say yes to the will of God. And like, I'm not going to live to spoil myself all the time, but I want to give myself away the way he did. I want to care like him, and I want to feel like him, and I want to give myself away the way he did. And I want to live like him. He said, in order that I might obtain to the resurrection from the dead. So right there, what he's not saying, I want to go to heaven when I die, because that's kind of a given. But it's a weird expression that scholars say it means an out resurrection from among the dead people. Like, I live in a world full of dead people. Like, I mean, they're just kind of dead. They're just kind of going through their life and living their life. And it's just not anything. But he said, but if I could do that, if I could care like Jesus, if I could feel like Jesus, if I could give myself away like Jesus, it's like I'm coming alive. That's what I want. I want a life that's full. There's a place in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that said there's a life that God has for you. He's designed for you and for nobody else but you. This is your only chance to live it. If you don't do it, nobody will. And he's like, I want that. I want a full life with Jesus, knowing him, caring like him, feeling like him, giving myself away like him. I want that. There was a guy that I loved who's with Jesus now, but he wrote probably a book that is probably the cheesiest book cover in the history of all books. It's a picture of his face kind of with his hands lifted up, but it looks like it comes off the poster of the Broadway musical Hair, you know, and like he's singing like The Age of Aquarius. It was kind of psychedelic. And the title of it is the cheesiest title of any book that I've ever heard of. It says, Lord, Make My Life a Miracle. But it is such an awesome book, and it changed my life. And then the times that I was able to listen to him and a couple of times to talk with him, he changed my life. He and his wife, his name was Ray Ortland, and his wife, Ann. And in this book, he said he got to a certain point in his life where he said, I don't want to be an ordinary person. I don't want to live. I don't want to be an ordinary Christian. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want to live an extraordinary life. I want to be everything that Jesus died and rose again to make me. I want to know him. I want a life that's a miracle. And he had one. I mean, he was extraordinary. It's not that he did extraordinary things. He was a pastor of a church, and he used to kind of go around the world and encourage missionaries and stuff like that. But he was an extraordinary person. He was extraordinarily sweet, extraordinarily kind. He was so full of love. And that's what he gave me a desire to want that. Like, this is my only chance to live an extraordinary life and know Jesus well and to care like him and feel like him and give myself away like him. And Paul said, it's not that I've already reached that. Like, I'm not like already there yet, but I'm pressing forward to grab a hold of it. Okay. I want to go back to that story about that woman that those guys grabbed a hold of her. That's the exact same word that Paul uses about grabbing a hold of this possibility of living an extraordinary life. They grabbed a hold of her with decisive initiative, with eager self-interest, in a forceful manner. And Paul said, that's what I'm doing. I'm grabbing a hold of this life with decisive initiative, with eager self-interest, in a forceful manner. And that's what I want to do. And if I have to get my tail end out of that bed, like at 5:30 in the morning, to open up like the scriptures so that my heart can come awake and I can find reasons to fall in love with Jesus again, I'm going to do it. And if I have to do it at 5:00, I'm going to do it. I'm going to grab a hold of it. I want a life. I want a day full of love for Jesus. I want a day that could be everything a day. I don't want to live an ordinary day. I don't want to live an ordinary life, right? You don't. And the reason you don't is that Paul says in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3, and the reason I'm grabbing a hold of it is because Jesus Christ has grabbed a hold of me. And it's the exact same word. He grabbed a hold of you, and he's not going to let you get away. He's grabbed a hold of you with decisive initiative, with eager self-interest, in a forceful manner. That man grabbed a hold of, she was looking for love and acceptance. I was looking for love and acceptance. He didn't care about her, but Jesus cared about me. He cared about you. That man was doing it to put shame on her. Jesus did it to take my shame off of me. The man did it to use her for personal reasons. Jesus grabbed a hold of me to use me for personal reasons, to use you for personal reasons. But that man didn't love her. But Jesus does love you and me. That's why he's grabbed a hold of you. For his own personal reasons, he wants this relationship, the intensity of it, the fullness of it. That's what he wants from you. That's what he wants from me. And he's not going to let you go. And he wants you to want it too. This is our chance. This is our only chance. To live the life, an extraordinary life, that he has for you.